Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Trump's got a new labor secretary, and he is pro-business owner and not always pro-labor. His name is Andrew Puzder. He was the CEO of Karcher Industries, Carl Karcher, Hardee's, and whatnot. I've actually interviewed him before. An interesting character, to say the least. He wrote a great op-ed piece about minimum wage in the Wall Street Journal in March, talking about the fact that, you know what, these people want $15 an hour. They want, mandatory paid sick leave, and they want all of these. They want health insurance. They want all of these things. And when you push people like that, business owners, what do they look for? They look for ways to cut costs. And how do you do that? You go automate. He is definitely a very interesting character. He says, while technology is becoming much cheaper, government mandates have been making labor much more expensive, which I think there's some truth to that. If you've never owned a business, I want you to understand this. If you've never owned a business, and I think a lot of, like, you know, Seattle's got that socialist councilwoman who's pushed this $15 an hour, is the first one to make it so. And her whole thing has been all businesses have money. They've got it in just buckets back there, and that they can spare it. That everybody who opens a business is automatically successful. I have news for you. Most businesses fail. Everybody thinks they've got lightning in the bottle. Everybody thinks they know when to strike. Everybody knows, hey, this is it. I can't fail. The truth is most businesses flounder or fail. Guess who doesn't hang out with you when your businesses fail? The employees. Like, they don't come back and say, I'm so sorry. Let me give you back my wages. They don't do that. When you take a risk, and that's what being a business owner is. It is taking a risk. It is saying, I believe in this so much, and I believe in myself so much, that I am willing to put my own money and time. You understand how hard it is to own a business? You may see your boss now, and your boss is on vacation, you know, 4 months out of the year with his wife, or she's, you know, she's always out, and she's going to Paris and London, or she's taking weekend trips to, you know, with her husband to the, you know, to wherever you guys live, the river, this, that, and the other. And you think, oh God, you know, they're lucky and they've got it all made. What you don't see is by the time you've got there, he or she has put in thousands upon hundreds of thousands of hours, blood, sweat, tears, and money to build something. Did you know that? No, you probably don't know that. Because your assumption is, for a lot of people out there, not yours, but a lot of people is, everybody's just made of money that has a business. They're printing money in the back. That's what we're doing here. We got Scotty out there right now. He's printing up money because that's what we do. Not getting here at 7. Anthony was here today. Our show doesn't start until 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Producer Anthony gets here at 6:45. I'm up throughout the evening, into late evening, early in the morning, and up very early in the morning because I don't sleep, working on the show. For every 1 hour you hear, they say it takes 2 or 3 hours of prep and show to get through it and to get ready. We have so much stuff that we go through. But it's not just that. I have another portion of a company that I've got to do. I've got meetings. I've got this. I've got that. I'm a busy person. And so I talk to my son about it. When you take risk in life, you have to realize you want to get the biscuit, you better risk it, right? That's what you do. Got to risk it to get the biscuit. You go big or you go home. And sometimes that requires sacrifice. That requires working on when you thought you had time off. That requires going the extra mile. That requires maybe not taking a paycheck here or there because you want to make sure your employees are taken care of. But on top of that, you've got to get a new piece of equipment that you know will help grow your business. That's what being a business owner is. And this guy understands that. But it's not just about employees. Because I think a lot of people think on the left and the real progressives think that businesses are there for the employees and not the business owner. They're there to provide you with pay and a great work environment and all the happiness you can handle. And if you don't make a profit, it's no big deal. No, that's government. That's what government's there for. Government doesn't need to make a profit because it never should. But it always does, right? Because it can print as much money as it wants. It can take from us however they feel. Oh, if they may not take it from me in taxes, they'll figure out other fees. This guy gets that. The new Secretary of Labor, he understands. The new Labor Secretary understands that. He did say in March that he's not opposed to raising the federal minimum wage above $7.25 or pegging it to inflation, though he said a jump to $15 an hour will cost workers their jobs. You know who freaks out about that? Economists on the left. No, it won't. It'll create jobs. No, it won't. Again, you're doing everything in a hypothetical manner. And this is what happens in a lot of ways. People do stuff in hypothetical manner because they look at books and they believe that stuff in the books should jump out to reality when in truth, that's not the way it works. Because you're only talking about one portion of things. You're talking about wages. Wages are a big thing, but there are a thousand little things that nickel and dime business owners to death. Fee for this, a fee for that. You need this license. You need that license. You need more fees. You need this. We got to tax you here for this. We got to tax you for that. We got a letter in the mail a couple weeks ago that wants to know, the county here wants to know what all of our equipment is because they want to tax us for our equipment that we already own. He gets it. Being a business owner is tough. This guy understands that. Donald Trump is appointing some good people, some interesting people. This is an interesting person he's appointing because it's a person who understands what goes on. Look, you want to make – I have yet to meet a business owner that wants to treat their employees like crap and pay them nothing. I'm sure there's some few people out there that would love to pay people nothing. And trust me, there's a few employees out there that don't deserve anything. So I think it's a fair thing. But most people I know that are solid individuals and human beings want to pay their employees good, want to make sure they have enough to take care of themselves and the business and their family as well. It shouldn't be an us versus them. And again, like everything else in this country, we've become us versus them. Racism, us versus them. Police, law enforcement versus minority community because we've made it an us versus them. LGBTQ, RSVP, ABCDFG, us versus them. Religion, us versus them kind of thing. It's got to stop. It has to stop. This guy is pro-business. This guy is. And I think he is going to do some stuff. This is the stuff that Donald Trump said he was going to do, which is shake things up. He's got the generals handling stuff that generals should be probably handling in some areas. He's got this guy who gets it, who's run a business, but not only run a business that has lots of small businesses within it. And he understands the reality of what it takes to run these businesses. You know, when I interviewed him, I was out in San Antonio, KTSA out there, and he said, We won't do business here in California anymore. We won't do business in California anymore. We've got Carl Karcher, you know, they've got Carl's Jr. everywhere because we're not opening up corporate stores because it takes anywhere between 18 and 24 months to get a store open. Where in places like Texas, it can be as little as 6 weeks from hitting the ground to flipping your first burger and taking your first customer. It's insane. Little things like that that chop into human beings' piece of the pie, business owners' sweet dreams. I look at this. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to build this business. And all of a sudden, when everybody comes over and they all, you know, you got this big piece of pizza pie, right? This is all the money that's come in from your business. And then 20 people come over and they all take a piece. And sometimes all that's left is that little pepperoni that's falled off. And that's supposed to be yours. That's the frustration that business owners feel. And I think this guy gets it. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles it. It really is. It's crazy. He's been one of the harshest critics, too, of Obama administration's rule that require workers who make less than $47,500 and work 40 hours per week to be paid overtime. The rule was put on hold by a federal judge just a few weeks ago. There's a lot of things that go into that stuff. Very interesting. But these are the kind of things that, as a business owner, you want to know about. What's going to come back and bite you in the ass? What's going to come back and cost you something you didn't see? These are the things. And by the way, business owners like myself, I want to maximize profits and mitigate losses. I want to maximize my profits. But I also realize to grow, I've got to spend. The problem is I would rather spend money on an employee than spend money on regulations and taxes. I'd rather hire another three people than say I can only hire one because I've got to pay for all of this crap over here because this state, this city, this municipality says, I have to have all of these fees. That's why I tell you, when you look at the federal side of things, people, understand this. Yes, it's important. We should look at it. But don't get overwrought with, oh, my God, Donald Trump, this, that, and the other. But when you look at your cities and when you look at your states, that is where you have the biggest issue when it comes to being a business owner, when it comes to being an employee, when it comes, because the things that those people do will directly impact you extremely fast. You know that. Again, these are the big times, the Beltway people, the Ted Cruz's and the Harry Reid's and the Pelosi's and the Tim Ryan's and all of those things. Yeah, they're big because we see them. The Donald Trump's of the world and the press. Those things are big and we talk about those. But that's on a federal level. But on a local level, more impact. You have more touch, as I call it. Because these people are touching your lives, touching your bank account, touching everything. And that's why you got to be wary. We'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting as this thing moves forward. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. So what's next for religion? Every day at this hour, at this time, we do So What's Next. We look forward to religion. And what's next for religion? Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What is next? We do it every single day, this hour, this time. It's called What's Next. We look forward to something and saying, what's next? Religion is the topic we look at now. What's next for religion? You know, in America, we have made religion in many ways an old thing. Religion, I want to say organized religion, is struggling. I mean, let's not pretend ourselves. Younger people aren't going to church like they used to. Older people have become more spiritual. There is still a place for church, a lot of people think, but it's not the way it used to be. When I was a kid, my mother, living even now, my mom's house with the kids, with the little kids. Because, you know, you'd listen to the show. My mother's adopted my nieces and nephews. There's seven of them from age 20 down to four. I have a four-year little brother. His name's Bubba. He's hilarious. You go to church, you go to school, and you play a sport. And for many of them, church is most important, sports number two. Some of you guys, if you could just get through school, we're good. Church was a big thing. I went to church. I went to religion schools, mostly because public schools wouldn't take me anymore. I got kicked out of districts for being insanely hilarious. They don't understand satire. But we have drifted away. Our belief in God is still there. But we've become a nation that doesn't like rules, especially a younger generation. Religion over the next umpteen years is going to struggle. And the religions or the people that you see that are bringing people to church, they're the kind of people like Joel Osteen, who is a positive kind of guy, who is more a motivational speaker using the Bible, a lot of people think, than anything else. Good guy, too, by the way. Oh, no, he's not. He's a good guy. He's fine. Met him. Good guy. Good cat. But that's what you see. Religion is having a battle within itself to bring a younger demographic. And the other thing is we have more choices and we have more cultures and people are looking at different things because we want to be open for a lot of stuff. You're going to see a rise of Islam in this country, whether you believe it or not. And let's not all think that everybody who is of the Islamic faith is a terrorist, because if you think that, you're insane. You're going to see that. Canada right now. Do you know in Canada that the Sikh religion, they are the third, I think the second largest group of Sikhs are in Canada, in the world, outside of India. You're going to see things like that in this country. People are looking for different things. More and more people are moving here from different cultures, and they're bringing with them their religion. And for some people, that scares people. The truth is, what's next for religion here is there is going to be somewhat of a battle for hearts and minds, and a battle for culture. Because there is a religion out there that still believes, some of the hardliners in that religion still believes that it's the 1600s, still believes that they need to go slay everybody and take over Constantinople, still believes in using a religion as laws more than as a compass and a guidance. And it's going to run into the culture that is America and freedoms. And we've seen that with Christianity. That's where religion is going. Christianity is comfortably number one here. And it will remain so. But it's a dwindling thing. Like a lot of stuff, they're not bringing in new customers. They're not cultivating a younger generation to come to church. So you'll see the rise of other religions. And some of those religions, they have issues with our culture. So you'll see a culture clash and a religion clash over the next several years. That's what's next for religion. The Chad Benson Show. It's your Facebook page, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chadbenson, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Love when you text the show. Somebody just texted me about being a business owner. Who owns the business? Or does the business own the owner? Very true. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. TSA's having some issues. Casey Affleck and Nate Parker. Interesting. What's the parallel? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Either I'm racist or I'm not good enough or something.
He's never gone to college.
No, you're just kind of a
pick a fight with me.
He's never been to college.
What was that?
Look at him.
You heard what I said.
What did you say?
I heard you're kind of a piece of
He's never been to college. He wants to build a wall.
Well, apparently wearing a build a wall hashtag shirt is grounds for being harassed by people in the common area of a community center.
Yeah,
in my apartment complex. But if you want to say that it is what you think it is, then you go ahead. If that's how you sleep at night, go for it. Clearly, you're the one who feels uncomfortable because you're wearing that shirt.
Oh, he doesn't want to show his face.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Right here. That I got
all
you.
These questions when
it's
I'm
a little uncomfortable when I come in to get coffee and you're wearing a racist shirt that you are.
You're so racist. I've never seen such a racist human being on earth.
Really? Because I've seen racism before. It's funny that we played that because I just got a text from somebody. Hey, racist. RASIST. Get ready. It's going to blow up in your face, along with orange racist, again, so-called president. Hope your gun stock poll next. Getting ready for World War TH as the idiot will be starting. Is it? Could you, like, what? What does that even mean? I love it. It's crazy. Speaking of racism, Hollywood's got a dilemma right now with what's going on in Hollyweird. And that dilemma is Casey Affleck and Nate Parker. Nate Parker did a movie called Birth of a Nation. I don't know if you're aware of this movie. It came out last year. It was supposed to be this massive movie. Nate Parker is African-American. Nate Parker took a true story, and it was so big that it got the biggest purchase price in the history of movies. When you go and you go to a lot of these and you go to these films, you know, many of these, you know, whether it be Sundance or this, that, and the other, and you show your film, and your hope is that somebody's going to purchase it. $18 million is what the Weinstein Company spent for that movie. Up front, that is massive. But along the way, Nate Parker's past came out that he was once on trial for rape, sexual assault. Him and his roommate, who was also involved, I believe, in this movie. And again, it was a very interesting situation to see. He was acquitted of that. He was 1999, 17 years ago. He was 19 at the time when this took place. I believe the lady that was at the was kind of at the head of this controversy. I believe she took her own life. It was a horrible situation, and it really killed the movie because all anybody talked about was the rape, and there was a rape scene in the movie. But all anybody talked about when they talked to Nate Parker. Here's this movie that is supposed to be. And after what took place last year and the Oscars so white and the whole nine yards, it was one of those situations where, man, tell you what, what's going to happen? And sure enough, it killed the box office. A lot of great performances are gone and wasted because of the controversy that surrounded. Again, Nate Parker is African-American. Casey Affleck, 41. Is winning critical praise in his movie, Manchester by the Sea. In fact, so much so that he is right now, many people think, the front runner to win the Academy Award for Best Actor in a Motion Picture for this. We heard nothing but nonstop talk about Nate Parker when this came out. Casey Affleck has been accused on several occasions of sexual harassment for women who worked for him and worked with him on the critically derided and absolutely horrible Joaquin Phoenix mockumentary, I'm Still Here. Producer Amanda White and cinematographer Magdalena Gorka sued Affleck for $2 million and $2.25 million respectively, alleging that Affleck verbally and physically harassed them throughout the filming. At the time, Affleck was married to Summer Phoenix, Joaquin's sister. White claimed that Affleck consistently discussed her sexual exploits during the filming, and that at one point he directed another crew member to show her his, despite her objections. White also alleged that Affleck once attempted to get her to stay in a hotel room with him, and when she said no, he grabbed her in a hostile manner. Now, Casey Affleck doesn't have these allegations following him around like Nate Parker did, but here's the thing, too. These were allegations. And as we all know in life, you can say anything you want about somebody until proven guilty or innocent. They're allegations. That's all they are. And you are innocent to prove it. There was no charges filed. There was just a lawsuit. But one person was, for all intents and purposes, even though he was proven innocent in a court of law, he was absolutely destroyed in the court of public opinion. The other person has been nothing. In fact, Anthony had to bring this to me because I had heard something about it, but I didn't know how big it was and what the whole thing was about. But it goes to show you that there is a double standard in some situations. Now, what they're claiming he did was nothing compared to what the ladies claimed happened with Nate Parker. That was rape. That was sexual assault. This was bad still, verbal assault, things of that nature, if it is true. It's allegedly true, allegedly false. I don't know. I wasn't there. Affleck did several things. Gorley.
Yo, know what this is, boy.
Chad Benson.
Yo, DJ, drop that beat, partner.
Oh, dear God, no.
Do you have any questions?
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, a lot of people texting in. Chad, how does this have anything to do with race? Well, it does have a lot to do. Remember, perception is reality. You got Casey Affleck, who is getting heaps and heaps of absolute, you know, praise over a movie that he's did and the character he's played. And on the opposite side, you've got somebody who was indeed on trial for rape, but was acquitted for that rape, and his career is destroyed. One is black, one is white. You don't think there could be some perception reality kind of situation? Now, what they leave out is there was some things that came out after the trial with Nate Parker that shed some new lights on stuff. But at this point in time, this guy's career is in limbo. And this was a movie that many people thought was going to win everything, was going to sweep the Academy Awards, was going to be massive. And now you may see a few people through individual performances get recognition. But Nate Parker himself in the movie itself, I don't know if we're going to find that. I just don't. And that's, again, it's a perception reality thing. And for a lot of people, the perception is, and it's one of those things too, where you have women's rights and you have sexual assault, and then you also have an African American. And there is that dichotomy there, that fight, that thing that's going on. It's not just always about race, but it's interesting. But then I hear people say, well, you know, Donald Trump talked the way he talked, said the things he said. People have come forward and say them. Absolutely right. You have every right. Maybe Nate Parker should run for president. I don't know. Maybe Casey Affleck could be president. I don't know. Again, alleged, though. Have you noticed that all of that stuff has died down with Donald Trump? Like, it's all went away. Did you see that Hillary blamed a good portion of the reason she lost is because of fake news? Fake news is the reason. No, fake news wasn't the reason you lost. Fake news was not the reason you lost. Anything but. The truth is that you lost because you didn't understand the way that the game was played at this point in time. And you being a career politician, and maybe, it's funny, somebody who I was told on 1,000 occasions, she is the most groomed, she is the most ready, she is the most studied person to run for office in history. And yet she didn't understand what she had to do to win. Think about that for a second. He understood what needed to be done. Hey, look, and there's no doubt that fake news is everywhere. And it's not fake news. Can we stop with the fake news? Can we stop? It's propaganda. There's a difference. Fake news is the onion. I just don't get into it because I think it's silly. Fake news is the onion. Fake news is the onion. Propaganda is different. The guy that went to the ping pong comet pizza shop and said that Hillary was running a child sex ring. What's wrong with you? Trust me, that guy's got other issues, right? That he took that issue and ran with it. But if it wasn't that issue, it's another one. He's looking for UFOs. He's outside every night trying to catch Bigfoot. He's ready to go to Scotland and get his scuba gear on and his spearfishing thing because he's going to catch Nessie. It's all like that guy had issues. He ran with that issue, but he had issues. It'll be interesting to see what happens and how this thing plays out with Casey Affleck and Nate Parker. And again, I don't know what happens. But Hollywood has a tradition. I mean, we just, you know, this week, you know, we found out about The Last Tango in Paris and what Marlon Brando did. And the director talked about kind of the sexual assault of the woman who played the star of the thing with butter, for God's sakes. And it's just, you know, the real tears and the rape scene in the movie Last Tango in Paris. It looks terrifying because she is terrified. She doesn't understand what's going on. And you've got somebody out there. You have the Charlie Chaplins of the world, and you've had the Roman Polanskis and all of these. It's bizarre. But this is Hollywood, right? I mean, Hollywood writes its own script for its own thing. They literally have the own way that they do things, and they don't care what you think, and they're willing to allow certain things. One of my favorite movies of all time is Jeepers Creepers, right? I love that movie. I love both of those movies. They're getting ready to do a part three. Victor Salva is the director of that movie. Victor Salva is a pedophile. Convicted pedophile. Child molestation, 1988. He was convicted of sexual misconduct with one of the Clown House, which is a movie he was working on, a 12-year-old boy, including videotape in one of the encounters. And yet, Hollywood gives them the opportunity to do things. I mean, do you see the weirdness there? And understand that I love that movie. I love horror movies. But after what I went through as a child, after being molested, after all the things that happened to me for the years, when I found this out, I was like, I can't, it comes on, I can't watch it anymore. Hollywood's willing to welcome somebody with open arms into its community and let him direct movies. And by the way, he directed another movie I liked. I liked Powder. But they're willing to do that. Nate Parker was not convicted. He was acquitted. But that's all that anybody talked about. Victor Salva was convicted. Not only that, he pleaded guilty to lewd and lascivious conduct of oral sex on a child under 14, procuring child pornography. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison. He served 15. He completed his parole in 1992. But I have news for you. After being what I went through as a child, I won't watch a movie he ever does again, even if it's the movie I dream of seeing. If he came up to me today and said, I think you should star in this movie, I'd be like, no, I can't work with somebody like that. Ever having been through what I've been through, having done what happened to me, and to see this, but you see the hypocrisy there. And I understand why people are questioning, why Casey Affleck or anybody. And there is that reason to question. It's sad that we have to. But this is Hollywood, and Hollywood does these types of things. That's why when people say, you know, you look around the country and you wonder why people in Iowa don't quite get people in California or don't quite get people in New York City. And it's because. I posted something today on Facebook and somebody said, oh, yeah, he goes, you put Pacific Coast and East Coast because let's be real, only the coasts matter. And that's the way a lot of people feel. It is. My colleague, Dana Lash, got a great book out called Flyover Nation. How do you govern a country you've never actually lived in? And for a lot of people, that's true. It's a different world. And that's why people look at Hollywood in a much different way. But they're willing to welcome that. Could you imagine today that if you work, let's say you work at a bread factory, right? You know? And, hey, we got this guy. He's going to be your new manager. He's going to be new director of sales. He's going to be doing this, that, and the other. Oh, by the way, he did time for lewd and lascivious acts for children under the age of 14 and procuring children pornography. Would never happen. Hollywood, though, that's no big deal because that's what Hollywood does. It's the same thing here. Hollywood picks and chooses. Why is it that everybody focused singularly on one human being when somebody like Casey Affleck, questions should be asked? Questions should be asked. I think it's very fair to ask certain questions. And now you've got one person whose career is completely destroyed and another person, like they said, who's on his way to glory. Very interesting. Hey, Netflix, speaking of Hollywood, has come out with they did a study about what people tend to do after they binge watch. It's very easy. For me, when I binge watch, and I don't really binge watch a lot, I'll binge watch things that have like 8 or 10, like, you know, Stranger Things and stuff, like a Glitch. I'll binge watch those. I'm not doing 35 episodes or something. I'm doing 110 episodes or something. And it's funny because they say that people who binge watch a movie will tend to, or a show like, say, Breaking Bad or Narcos, will tend to go off and watch a movie throughout this that is kind of representative of what they've kind of watched, which I found to be weird because for me, if I watch something that's creepy, scary, or violent, and it's before bed, I always like to, you know, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have dessert now. And by that, I'll watch Family Guy. I'll watch an Archer. I'll watch something light and funny. But they say you tend to kind of follow through with whatever you're doing. So if you're watching something that's scary, you might watch something else that's scary. If you're watching something that's violent, you might follow through on that. But you'll give it a few days, too. That's the other thing. You take a deep breath and take a few days off before you start watching something else. Very interesting. I love Netflix. I'm not going to lie to you. I watch Netflix every night. I only have cable because it's in the house. And I don't pay for it. I cut the cord. New America, New World. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show. Love when you do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.